This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. The voice is getting better as the morning goes on. I appreciate that. Kim St. Ange continues to enjoy a day off here. She was off yesterday. Again, today we'll be back in here tomorrow morning for us, and we appreciate that. Carl Middleman, Ethan Hi. Bright, Sue Thomas in here with me this morning to get you to work or wherever it is you need to go. So that is what we're doing today, keeping an eye on what's going on out there. Apparently, Joy Reid is still out at MSNBC. They got a bunch of other cuts. I was promising you before the top of the hour that I'd let you hear from Rachel Maddow. And she wasn't crying, but she was very close to it yesterday. Apparently, there are some Doge-like cuts coming to MSNBC because either it's bloated or it's not making enough money. And she's less than thrilled about that. So we are going to get to some of that for you here coming up before too long. And I promise you that before the end of the hour anyway. We'll get to another news with Ethan at about 6:45. Todd Pyro next hour, of course, host of Fox and Friends First. And always great to get Todd on here and find out what is going on up there at in the Capitol and around the world, because he's always covering that stuff every morning. You know, he's on for the roughly 2 hours before our show on Fox in the morning, Fox and Friends First. And then, of course, you see him throughout the day there on Fox and sometimes on Gutfeld. And he's just he's all over the place. So I'm thrilled that he is a regular guest for us a little bit later. And even here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to look more into this glyphosate. Story. I know you've heard the ads running here on the radio station where the Bayer and Big Pharma are trying to get this bill passed in the Missouri legislature. It's passed the House now that would basically grant them immunity from any lawsuits for any fallout from the use of this particular pesticide, I guess it is, on crops in the state of Missouri. Good idea, bad idea. I don't know. Strikes me as bad. But we'll talk to John Lamping about that here at the bottom of the hour. And also Senator Adam Schnelting, who will get to vote on whatever form this takes when it gets to the Senate. And I'm anxious to get his take on what the likelihood is of that actually happening. I don't know the full answer to that, but that is what we're looking at right now. All right, we're going to get you all that for you coming up. Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The tariffs are going forward on time, on schedule. This is an abuse that took place for many, many years. And I'm not even blaming the other countries that did this. I blame our leadership for allowing it to happen.
Amen. If you tariff us, we will tariff you. It's just, I don't know. It seems like such common sense. And then there's always going to be pushback claiming it's going to hurt the economy. I don't think so.
He's not cutting enough. We should cut more, 20% more. It's all fat. It's waste. There's so much waste in federal government.
Yeah, Kevin O'Leary there, of course, knows a thing or two about cutting waste and turning around businesses. And he says Donald Trump has not gone far enough in these DOGE cuts.
You want the government to ban gender-affirming care for kids?
You want to lose every election? Just keep coming down on the side of parents coming in second in a who gets to decide what goes on with kid contest.
Yeah, Bill Maher. How about that? Taking on the host of Pod Save America. And the guy is just on it when it comes to this transgender issue. And Bill Maher's like, you better back off or you'll never win another election.
And do it competently without any of that knowledge or understanding or experience, it's confounding.
Oh, boy. I think if they go back and they start investigating the investigators of what happened around the 2016 election and the Steele dossier and the wiretapping of Trump Tower, the man you just heard from there should be at the top of the list to be investigated. This is the amazing thing to me. Now, yesterday it was announced that Dan Bongino would take over, maybe it was late Sunday, as the assistant director of the FBI. Who was the most famous assistant director of the FBI? Can anyone tell me that? It's Andrew McCabe. Andrew McCabe, who oversaw Lisa Page and Peter Strzok in one of the most, in my opinion, damning episodes in the history of the FBI, where we have emails talking about trying to undermine a presidential candidate and taking out insurance policies and making sure he never gets elected as president of the United States. Andy McCabe oversaw all of that. Operation Crossfire Hurricane, every bit of it, because the assistant director of the FBI basically runs the shop. I mean, Kash Patel is there. He's making policy decisions. But on a day-to-day basis, when somebody walks into what will now be Dan Bongino's office and says, hey, what's going on with this? How should we approach this? It's Dan Bongino that'll be giving that information and not Andrew McCabe. And Andrew McCabe doesn't understand because he was an entrenched bureaucrat within the FBI that rose and was promoted based on people that he agreed with politically, because that's a political position at the end of the day. And he's arguing Dan Bongino can't do it because he's not apolitical, which is such a joke. Listen to this.
You know, I have great concerns for the FBI and for its people. You know, you're taking someone who knows nothing about the organization, has no experience with the FBI, and put him in the highest position an agent can possibly occupy. He'll be responsible on a day-to-day basis for all of the FBI's intelligence collection and investigative authority. People will walk into his office one after another, every single day, and confront him with some of the most confounding problems in unbelievably important investigations, issues in which the safety of our country is hanging in the balance. And they're going to expect him to look back at them, make quick decisions based on the law, based on the facts, not on his politics.
Yeah, you know, my question is, I have to wonder when I listen to that, was it Andrew McCabe that suggested to James Comey that they couldn't go after Hillary Clinton? Do you think? I mean, he's ultimately the buck stops at the assistant FBI director's desk, and James Comey is the figurehead over all of it. Do you think he heard all of this evidence and decided in a bipartisan way that they couldn't go after Hillary Clinton?
Secretary Clinton said, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
There was classified material emailed.
Secretary Clinton said she used just one device. Was that true?
She used multiple devices during the 4 years of her term as Secretary of State.
Secretary Clinton said all work-related emails were returned to the State Department. Was that true?
No, we found work-related emails, thousands, that were not returned.
Yeah. And in light of all of that, Andrew McCabe recommended to James Comey that they not forward charges to the DOJ on Hillary Clinton. That's what he misunderstands about the appointment of a Dan Bongino. His decisions were clearly political, and he wants to argue over on CNN, where they're paying him untold millions of dollars to be an analyst, that now the country's unsafe. What a joke. That is a joke. Can I just tell you that? All right, quick break here. There was a story yesterday that apparently, due to DOGE, some local organizations might be affected by it. It's hitting close to home here. We'll talk more about that when we come back, and we'll get to our friend John Lamping at the bottom of the
low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections. But you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The hour. Stay tuned.
Cops shooting and killing Anthony Lamar Smith to Michael Brown in Ferguson, George Floyd in Minneapolis. A movement's been sparked, targeted, and cracking down on police misconduct in St. Louis and beyond. And now there are fears these incidents could go unchecked. A Department of Justice decision, the DOJ eliminated its national database tracking misconduct among federal law enforcement officers.
Tonight, our Alexis Zotos reports on the potential trickle-down effect, leaving some activists uneasy tonight.
You know, the final sentence there is all you need to know about that story. The only people complaining about it are some local activists tonight. Right? This so-called database has been shuttered. The site has now, it wasn't available to the public to begin with. Only law enforcement could access it, apparently. But it was a place to blacklist police officers, is what they set up under the Biden administration 4 years ago. And guess what? It's gone dark. It was a overreaction, one of the, just like the Ferguson effect, an overreaction to lies of the left that somehow police abuse cases are so rampant that we need a federal database to track these horrible people. Now, imagine being in a department where the chief just didn't like you and you got fired, and then your name ends up magically in this database. Who was keeping track of that? Who was deciding whose name went in this database? I remember years ago as a reporter covering the story that the bigger issue, a much bigger issue, was people who were problems in school districts. And the school districts, to avoid the problem being a publicity issue, would just fire people and let them go work somewhere else and then never say why they fired them. They didn't have to say why they fired them. But it's a lie to claim that this is a rampant problem in policing. There's just no evidence of it. And specifically in this case, it was local activists who felt like this is going to be some kind of a game changer now that we've only had this for 4 years, but the community is not as safe now. Go to cut 17, Carl, please.
We need to have the database. We need the accountability.
The link for the database, which launched in 2023, is now dead. It was an idea President Trump initially proposed in his first term, but it didn't launch until President Joe Biden's term in the aftermath of George Floyd's death. Reverend Darrell Gray has spent years calling for police accountability and oversight.
The federal government was paying attention to what we've been saying.
That's Reverend Darrell Gray, the local activist who's mad about this. Now, the point of it might seem like a great idea that we're going to put a database together of people who have been problems in other departments. But the truth of it is, it was something to track what Darrell Gray believes specifically only targets African Americans. And if you look at the numbers, that is a false claim. The numbers do not back up the abuse that BLM and other activists have claimed that this was such a problem to begin with. It just doesn't. Departments can spot troubled officers pretty quickly. Everybody knows who they are. And it happens in every profession. It's not unique to policing. It just drives me crazy. Of course, they had to run out and find an activist who was mad about it. For all we know, it may come back. It may be one of these programs that they've temporarily shut down, and maybe they bring it back in some form, but I doubt it. They also terminated leases of several federal agencies in St. Louis, as covered yesterday here. Go to cut 15, Carl, please.
Agency claims it's saving money by terminating several leases for several federal agencies' field offices in our area. So far, though, we can tell you no job cuts have been confirmed at these agencies. Here's what we know. DOJ's website states the Defense Counterintelligence and Security Agency, DCSA, has closed its St. Louis field office, terminating that lease, saving more than $425,000 over the lifetime of that lease. Another in the Metro East for the General Security Administration, or GSA, their office in O'Fallon, Illinois will end early in April, saving about $240,000 over the length of that lease agreement. And we double checked and called DCSA St. Louis office. That number is disconnected and our emails went unanswered. GSA here, as you can see, responded, quote, GSA is reviewing all options to optimize our footprint and building utilization. But it did not confirm directly the closure or what's next for however many employees were working at that 4,500 square foot facility. We're also learning DOJ's cost cutting could impact the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, or NGA, here in St. Louis. And while that agency couldn't confirm DOJ's involvement here, they tell us they are following presidential executive orders, which includes DOJ.
Yeah, they ran out, and of course, there's no evidence that they've fired the people working in those offices. They've just shut down the wasted space with government leases of huge buildings that potentially weren't occupied. Because these people were working from home. And nobody asked that question. And I'm sure we'll find out more on it moving ahead. They ran out and found William Lacey Clay, the former First District Congressman, who's alarmed by all of this because he fought to bring the NGA, of course, which could end up getting some cuts as well. NGA is critical to our defense. It is. What they do is unique in many ways. You can bet that there will not be the loss of critical jobs at NGA. There may be some fat that needs to be trimmed there as well. That's why it needs to be looked at. That's the point of this. We've never had this opportunity. It's just like Kevin O'Leary said there at the top of the show. They ought to cut 20% more than he is cutting because there's always fat that you can't see. And if you realize at some point that you've made a mistake, you go back in and you rehire for those positions. This is an opportunity we might never have again. I'll just say again, we haven't had it in my lifetime, and I don't know that J.D. Vance would do the same thing. I think right now is the time to strike before these bureaucrats, these entrenched bureaucrats, have an opportunity to strike back, because you know they're planning something to try to foil what Donald Trump is doing here. We know that, right? All right, coming up, we will talk to our friend John Lamping about this new law designed to limit immunity for big pharma in the state of Missouri. Straight ahead.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
Yeah, that's the spot that is running around the clock here on this radio station and on billboards around the St. Louis area, on TV stations. I mean, Bayer is putting a full court press on this, and they had enough impact to actually pass this in the House in the state of Missouri. I guess I was a little surprised by the people that switched over and voted in favor of this. It now goes to the Missouri Senate. I don't know what happens next. We've got former Missouri Senator John Lamping on the phone this morning. And John, not to blindside you with this, but this seems to be the a big issue down in Jeff City right now. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Yeah, unfortunately, I think this is what's happening right now in the General Assembly is what happens more often than not is that some issue, and in this case, it's glyphosate, which really is just Roundup. It's commercial Roundup, and they call it glyphosate because the public knows that they have a bad impression of what Roundup is and the fact that it has lost court cases for hundreds of millions of dollars and likely causes cancer. So they change it to glyphosate. But what happens sometimes is, you know, we elect people to go down there and do big things, eliminate income tax or build roads or whatever good things we'd like to see happen that candidates talk about when they run for office. But then suddenly here we are almost two months into the session, which means you only have 2.5 months to go and nothing really big has happened. But what's taken up so much time and now what's taking up tens of thousands of dollars in campaign ads is corporate special interest. So this is Bayer right here in Creve Coeur, the world headquarters or North American headquarters after buying Monsanto. And they're pushing to avoid all future lawsuits from the commercial use of Roundup if the EPA puts a label on it. And they're saying that it's potentially harmful, then they can't be sued. So this has become the number one issue for the lobbyists, and I think the family behind this is the Blunt family. You might recall about 6 weeks ago, the CEO of Bayer went down to the Capitol, met with the governor and the legislators, and Roy Blunt was there to kind of show them around, and there were pictures with the Blunt family. And the Blunt families are the most powerful political family, not just the people that have been in office, but the people who aren't in office but run lobbyist groups. So that's where all this money's coming from. That's who's lobbying on behalf of the bill. What you're going to see happen now is that nine state senators, led by my state senator, Nick Schroer, have rallied behind the opposition in the Senate. So it's their intention now to filibuster. And nine is a very good number for filibustering. It'll be very difficult for that bill to pass if that group does not want it to pass. You've got a silent Governor Kehoe who won't take a position on this bill, but he's there ready to sign the bill. He's very, very close to the Blunt family. And so this is what's going to occupy the rest of our session. The good things we want to see happen are the good things that Nick and his group of nine would like to see to make our state a better place will not be allowed to pass until this Roundup bill is allowed to pass. It may mean that nothing happens that we'd like to see happen this session, and it would be all tied up in these filibusters. Or it may mean that either sometime this year or next year in session, a deal will be struck where some good things can get through in exchange for this bill. But sadly, no one in Missouri took a position when they voted for Roundup and Bayer getting immunity. But yet this is what will be the dominant legislative item the rest of the way through this session.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. As I read, there's an article on this in the Missouri Independent that came out this past week. And it sounds to me like Bayer is suggesting that if they don't get this passed, if they don't get the state to grant them immunity from lawsuits, and my guess is they're doing this in every state around the country that has agriculture, that they might have to discontinue the product. And that's why they're claiming it's going to hurt farmers if you don't give them immunity from these lawsuits.
Well, that'd be fine, because what we've learned as a result of certain court actions is that this product has harmed people that have used it. So, you know, it's interesting that this push is being made at a time when we've got, RFK in the position that he's in. His job is to make our food safer. You know, there's more and more, there's greater and greater demand for organic foods. And why would that be? Well, one of the key things that happens with organic foods is that they're not sprayed with a Roundup. And what we're doing is we're finding that glyphosate is being found in traces of it in almost all of our foods. And there's most people are of the opinion that this is not as, as far less than healthy for the people consuming the food. So they can threaten all they want. There's another school of thought is that they're going to go out and they're going to try to pass this as many places as they can and indemnify themselves from future lawsuits. And when that's all done, they're going to sell the company to somebody else and probably sell the company to somebody outside of this country. So this is it's a disgusting part of state government. And sadly, more often than not, it takes up a vast majority of either the time or the pressure that goes into lawmaking. Few good things will pass without this bill passing.
Wow.
And it really here's what will happen now. If people ask the governor, do you support this bill? He'll say something to the effect of, well, whatever legislation brings me, we'll consider it at that time. That's code for, yeah, I'll sign this bill. And then it'll be interesting. I think some of the agricultural groups are for it, but agricultural groups are, they're part of a very large lobbying interest. These are the corporate agricultural groups, not mom and pop farmer. You know, a lot of mom and pop farmers will tell you these horrific stories where when you buy the seed that contains glyphosate, that the seeds are strictly monitored, and that at the end of harvest season, if you don't return the seeds, you basically have to buy them over again every year. Then you're chased by Monsanto, what was Monsanto, in court.
Right.
I was sorry to see this happen the way it did. And now you drive around Chesterfield, there are billboards there. There's mailers going directly to all these senators, and there's all this big media buy. And that's the last thing that any of us were contemplating when we went to the polls back in November to vote for state leadership.
Yeah, I got the one in the mail the other day suggesting somehow that Nick Schroer doesn't support farmers because he's against this. They put a full court press on. So, John, if I'm hearing you correctly, all of this talk about maybe cutting the state income tax or all these things that were the lofty goals of this Senate could be put on the line if Cindy O'Loughlin makes this bill a priority and won't let anything else pass till this gets through?
Well, she'll make it a priority. They will do all they can to get it passed. But if these nine senators hold, the nine is a very good number. It's like you can filibuster with four or five, and it's difficult. But if there's truly nine people that are willing to stand up against these corporate special interests, then it's not going to pass. And then at that point, what will happen is that the things that we want to see happen, the things that the governor wants to see happen, I'd be very much surprised if they were to pass independent of this bill. But what'll happen instead is that maybe they won't pass, but somehow the blame will be placed on Nick and the other eight senators, that if not for all of their doings, then Missouri would have had these good things happen. So this is, people always say, like, why do you have these big, huge bills? Why don't you just pass one thing at a time? Even when you pass one thing at a time, there's all kinds of other bills that are tied to the success of each bill are negotiated against each other. So I think that the only thing that they can do down in Jeff City that will change the long term arc of Missouri's economy and quality of life would be to eliminate the income tax. Let's hope that doesn't go by the wayside. But this corporate interest, when they have as much power as any individual senator, and they sadly have as much power sometimes as any individual governor, and we'll see how this goes forward. Yeah. But it's discouraging to see what happened. And I applaud Nick and the senators for taking the appropriate stand. But they're going to need our prayers and support because they're going to come under tremendous pressure between now and the end of the session.
Well, we're going to talk to Senator Adam Schnelting in the 8 o'clock hour today, so I'll definitely talk to him about it as well. My final comment would be where are the trial lawyers at? I mean, they've got to be down there lobbying against this, right?
Oh yeah, for sure they're against this. It had been the case. For up until 10 or 15 years ago, where Republicans were locked up against the trial attorneys and they were all in support of all corporate interests. But that when you look at what is the the mega movement and the national populist movement nationwide. Yeah. And it's we are now on the same side as the trial attorneys often enough, especially when they're going against these embedded corporate interests who are able to be true rent seekers in government. And we asked Robert Kennedy what part of this bill is he for, and I'm sure he'd be standing side by side with Nick and all these other state senators.
I'm sure he would. John, appreciate your insight as always. Thank you.
Great. Have a good Tuesday.
Yep, you too. Appreciate that. Former Senator John Lamping bringing you some truth there about this this Roundup bill. That's what I'm going to start calling it, not glyphosate. That's designed to distract from the issue. It's Roundup. And they want immunity from any future lawsuits if you get cancer, is what it sounds to me like. We'll talk to Adam Schnelting about it, state senator, at about 8:20. How about that? We're back in a minute with another news.
What's happening?
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
I win.
What did he win for?
He kept saying that there aren't any up-tempo Roberta Flack songs.
Oh, okay.
It's not that there's not any. It's just all the ones you know are just kind of
slow.
Yeah, they're just chill songs.
Melancholy.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Sure.
Speaking of Roberta Flack, she passed away. The Grammy-winning singer and pianist passed away at 88, surrounded by her family. Known for her soft, intimate style, Flack rose to fame in the early 70s with hits like The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face, which was popularized in the Clint Eastwood Play Me Misty for Me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just butchered that.
Play Misty for Me.
Yeah. And Killing Me Softly with his song, earning back-to-back Grammys.
Only person to ever win back-to-back record of the year.
When Play Misty for Me came out, it must have been like 1970 or 71, 74. Something like that. I was young, and my mom had to go to a baby shower. And my dad took her and dropped her off. And to kill time, he took me to the theater and decided we'd go see that movie.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
So about 10 minutes into it, he got up and walked me out of the theater. I don't even remember what the scene was.
And then you became a radio host.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're right, 71.
Anyway, so yeah, I was pretty young. I remember that. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
So anyone who does not know what Play Misty for Me is, Clint Eastwood is a radio disc jockey.
Yes.
And has a stalker.
Uh-huh.
And it gets very violent.
It gets steamy, too.
It's
steamy.
Wow.
Right off the top.
It didn't say exactly, like, they didn't put an official what she died from, but she was suffering from ALS. So
Lou Gehrig.
We're pretty sure that's what it was. Lester Holt announced that he is stepping down as the anchor of the NBC Nightly News after 10 years. He's going to transition into a full-time role at Dateline. His final broadcast is expected by early summer. In a heartfelt memo, Holt called it the honor of a lifetime and expressed excitement about expanding his focus on subjects he deeply cares about. At
a twofer. We got a twofer yesterday at NBC. How about that? Joy Reid and Lester Holt.
Former St. Louisan, right?
Well, it makes you wonder. I don't know if he worked here. I don't remember him working here, but he might have been. Did he have some connection?
I think he did.
I don't remember that.
Really?
I don't remember that. I just remember that he got passed over a number of times for that job. You got to think salary cuts might have had something to do with it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to wonder.
Billy McFarland, the disgraced founder behind the disastrous 2017 Fyre Festival, is staging a comeback with Fyre Festival 2.
Oh.
It's set for May 30th through June 2nd in Mexico. And despite his past fraud convictions and prison time, McFarland remains optimistic, promising a reimagined experience featuring music, extreme sports, and cultural activities.
Didn't a lot of people get screwed in that deal?
Yeah.
Do I remember that correctly?
With cheese sandwiches.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, they paid a ton of money to go, and then, like, certain acts didn't show up or what?
Nothing showed up.
It just got canceled, right?
Right. Right now, this festival is going to be capped at 2,000 people, so attendees, with ticket prices ranging from $1,400 to $1.1 million, offering luxury perks like private yachts and backstage passes.
Oh.
If you buy tickets for this, you get what you deserve. I'm just telling you right now.
Because if it never happens, I mean, at that level, you're really tapping into people that have, they're so rich they don't care, right?
Right.
What's $1 million if they're going to drop it on
something
like that?
I don't care if I'm Elon Musk. $1 million is $1 million.
No, that's not true. Now, if you had billions, a million would be like 100 to the rest of us, right?
Yeah. I don't know, Mark. I'm poor. It doesn't matter how much. A million's a million. Wendy's has partnered with the Girl Scouts to launch the Thin Mints Frosty. It's available right now. You can go get it. And it's just in time for the National Girl Scouts Cookie Weekend, which actually already happened. The limited time treat features Wendy's classic chocolate and vanilla Frosty swirled with a mint cookie crumble inspired by the popular Thin Mint. Alongside this, there are also 42,000 Wendy locations will host Girl Scout Cookie Boost this season, which is kind of
that's going to be huge.
Can I guess that?
Holy cow!
So Wendy's is partnering with them and mixing it into their nice.
Yeah, that can't sounds, be bad.
I haven't had a Frosty in a long time.
Sue, would you give up the no sugar thing to try that?
No, but I'd happily think about it.
Oh, that's not, doesn't that just sound
yeah,
nice?
It sounds really good. Awesome.
It sounds good. Awesome. Yes, I'll admit.
They're not open yet. We could have Trisha go through and get us some.
Trisha?
Efforts to eliminate daylight savings time have stalled at the federal level, leaving states to decide independently. Nearly two dozen states could potentially lock the clock this year with legislation introduced in states like Connecticut, Illinois, and Pennsylvania.
Why is it stalling? Why?
That's just it, right? So those states do it, and then it's just a freak show when you take a road trip and
you can't
figure out what time it is.
2 hours ahead.
Indiana doesn't change, right?
Exactly.
Arizona, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. California, Utah, and Washington are all going to stay on standard time. So if you have people on standard time and people
all
on...
All the time.
Yeah. We don't know what time we're at.
Yeah, that's just going to be a nightmare.
That is a disaster waiting to happen. All right. Thank you, Ethan.
Yep.
Coming up, Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First, and we'll get to 2A Tuesday. They're trying to debate changes to the Second Amendment Preservation Act in the state of Missouri. We're going to get somebody from the Missouri Firearms Coalition, Jared Taylor, on here for 2A Tuesday at about 7:35. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.